The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticators Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
and Melissa Delp
in the house.
And I know Will hasn't mentioned it, but this is episode 134.
134.
And do you know what is interesting about 134, Will?
Tell us, Kevin. What is
it? Just these two episodes, we're doing it. We're not going to do it for any other episodes. Just these two. Former running back George Reed for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders held the career record of 134 rushing touchdowns.
Wow.
And I don't even like sports, but you know that's what Wikipedia says. So
for all
those
Saskatchewan fans out there.
What?
I messed it up too. Kevin was practicing earlier.
You know, I was practicing this, and we should have been recording it.
We should have been. Saskatchewan?
If you like Sasquatch, then you should listen to our show.
We've been playing some games as usual. One of the cool ones that Sarah and I got to the table this week, finally, was In the Hall of the Mountain King.
Ooh. Okay, for the record, we are recording this early.
Yeah, because so everyone's going on vacation.
This was recorded a couple weeks ago. So we've actually been playing this game a lot, but we're just now talking about it on our episode. Guys, you need to go buy this game. This is super, super cool. It has some interesting...
And that is it. Go buy the game.
Yeah,
and we're talking about...
Apparently, that's all you need to know. Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think Sarah has the longest history with it. You got to play it a while back.
A prototype, right?
Yeah. I played a prototype back at PAX Unplugged.
2019?
Yeah, 2019.
No, 2018.
2018. And it has some interesting mechanics that I haven't seen a lot of other Euro games use. It has this cascading mechanism for you to gain resources in the game, which is super cool. I'm surprised it has not been thought of yet. So very cool.
It's kind of like, it's really interesting. So in the game, you are trolls trying to build pedestals and statues on the way. Is it down or up inside the mountain? I guess it's up, right?
You're digging into the mountain. You're tunneling into the mountain.
You're going to score points the further into the mountain you are able to go with your tunnels and the rooms that you're able to build within the building. But as Sarah mentioned, it's got this really interesting mechanic for how you gather your resources. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. I don't know a better way to say it. You lay out the cards and you have level 1, 2, and 3 card. They're trolls that you can recruit to your team that gather resources for you. And so as you lay those out, they kind of build this pyramid. There's like
It's four wide at the bottom. So you end up with 10 cards total.
Okay, that math works out. Sounds good. So you have 4 level 1 cards on the bottom, 3 level 2 cards in the middle, and 2, no, it's more than that, level 3 cards at the top.
You're talking about the horde that you're choosing.
I am talking about the horde.
That is different. On your own player board, you start with a base of 4, and you'll end up with 10 trolls all together in your own area. But the supply, the horde, has 5 level 1s, and then 4, and then 3.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah. For clarifying that I was right to start off with. They do stacking on each other, though, in a pyramid-like shape, which is interesting. And so to recruit the trolls in the first place, you can take any one from the bottom row for free. But if you take one from that second row, you have to pay bribes. You have to pay 2 coins to the 2 cards that rest below the level 2 troll and able to recruit that one. And if you want that level 3 troll at the very top, you have to pay coins to the 4 bottom ones that touch the next level 2 ones that touch, and then you can take the troll at the top. So to get those really powerful cards,
it costs 6 coins.
You gotta have a bunch of money, which is not that easy to get in the game. Fortunately, there are some cool things like spells in the game, which allow you to spend runes to be able to take a one-time really powerful action.
Mm-hmm.
Those cycle out throughout the game, so every time any spell is used a total of 3 times by any player's total in the game, a new spell comes out, and those are like game changers. Depending on what those spells are, you can do really cool stuff.
Yep. Yep. I agree. And in the game, there are several different ways to gain points. So you can gain lots of points by using rare minerals to build your tunnel or to you
mining,
to mining the areas to build the tunnel. So those ones, you get the bigger the piece is that the tile that you lay, you'll gain more points. And if you use a rare mineral to do it, you'll gain more points off of that. And then you get points for being deep in the tunnel and getting those statues there. But you can use an alternate method of trying to gain points of building some areas that are all contiguous together and then making a great hall. So there are other tiles in the game that are rooms that you can place over those tunnels and you can clear out a full area. Those are worth points. Then if you can get a statue in there as well, you have little carts in the game that you will use to move the statues through the tunnels that you've built. And if you get them in a room, and those are worth even more.
Yeah, and it's not really an either or either. Like you, now, can, you can definitely be doing do all both of, these. Of those things at the yeah. same time. The further you get into the mountain, the more statues you're able to get that will compound the value of your total points at the end of the game. And the first player to build their own pyramid scheme with five cards on it with three levels will trigger the end of the game, and then players each get like one more turn and
two more turns
and then the player with the most points wins. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. We've played it with a couple different player counts. I would love to play it with a five player count because so far we haven't necessarily interacted with each other. Your tunnels aren't allowed to touch each other, and so you have to kind of build around each other. That hasn't been anything that's impacted our gameplay because we've had enough space.
We've also been playing mostly on the lower player count side board. The board is right. double-sided. So, to play a five player on the other side of the board would be interesting.
Yeah, there's lots of different obstacles in your way, too. You might have to use hammers to break things down. You'll get treasures as you mine through different spaces. So lots and lots of different ways to score points, lots of different strategies to use. And if you can get those right spells to line up and give you sweet resources, it feels like a very rich game where you get to make a lot of good decisions. I hate games where it's like, oh, I don't have any good choices to make. This one, it's like, oh, do I use this sweet spell to get this sweet resource to stack me up with a bunch more resources? I didn't feel like it was one of those games where I didn't usually have enough stuff to do things with, but you definitely still have to be strategic about what order you do them in, so... A lot of fun. I had a good time with that one.
Yeah, but I didn't think there was as much AP as in some worker placements. Like, you have some choices on your turn, but it's easier to narrow down the best solution on the turn or what you're trying to accomplish. So, very cool.
Yeah, cool.
What did you guys get to the table this week?
Oh, we were able to play, at least I was able to play Guardian's Call with my Tuesday night games group. We call that Subterranean Tuesdays. We haven't talked about that in a while.
We haven't. I forgot about that. So,
but anyway, we're going through Gloomhaven, but once in a while we go to other games. We got
Kevin accidentally forgot the miniatures at home.
So we decided to play a different game.
But we did get to play a different game, the game that everybody got at Tantrum Con.
Yeah.
Guardian's Call from Druid City Games and Skybound Games. This is a 2 to 5 player game that takes about 20 to 40 minutes. I would say closer to 30 to 40 with the higher player counts that really will adjust the play time. This is a bluffing deduction game. You've got definitely set collection, hand management, card drafting in the game. You are a guardian trying to protect the villagers. Basically in the game, we've played another game similar to this. Melissa has. From Druid City.
Barnyard Roundup.
Barnyard Roundup. It has a very similar mechanic where you're basically telling someone, I've got three spells in Guardian's Call, and they can either believe you and say, yeah, you have three spells, or they can be like, no, I don't believe you, and they don't think I gave someone three spells or three villagers or whatever. That's a set of, they have to be the
three
same.
Of a kind,
three
yeah.
of a kind, or two of a kind, or one of a kind. It doesn't matter the number of cards. It just all has to be the same kind of card. You can't mix cards like you can in Sheriff of Nottingham.
Right.
So in that, if Will says, yeah, you definitely gave me three villagers, and I said you gave, and then they were villagers, and you get the villagers. And the person I gave them to gets those. Since I lost, I would get a coin. If I gave three villagers, but I said there are three spells, and you decided you were going to take them, then that you were wrong. And I then get to keep the villagers that were supposedly spells. So there's definitely this, what do you think I actually am giving you?
Right.
And is he right or is he wrong? Right.
But there's,
I'd be so terrible at this game.
there's a catch the leader mechanic, like I said. The person that loses gets this coin, and you can spend coins to get things, like treasures and stuff like that. So that's helpful to progress in the game. I lucked out a couple times and just guessed right, because in the game, I can't just keep focusing on Will. If there's a four-player game, you have to, when you do a deal with someone, you have to turn their token over, and you have to go to other players.
Make an offering to everyone before you can go back.
Once everyone has been given an offer, then you can reflip everyone's token over, and then you can basically start it over again. I lucked out because people were giving me villagers. My special ability power was a villager power, so if people were giving me villagers, I got a lot more points or things in the game, which was very helpful.
So did they know that you had this?
Oh, yeah.
Or was it a secret?
Oh no, they knew.
So
everyone
they shouldn't
knows.
Have been giving you villagers.
Well, they were thinking,
hoping that he would.
Well, one person
gives
one person like says, here's three villagers, and I was like, whatever, yeah, sure, give me three villagers. They were three villagers. The next, like the very next turn, the next guy's like, oh, you know, trying to like out
think
because
off
if,
of it.
because if I'm like, oh, no, they're not. Then, you know, they get to keep those villagers.
Right.
So there's that mentality going in. But the next guy's like, I'm sure thinking, oh, I'm going to give him three villagers too. There's no way Kevin's going to think
believe
that
twice in a row.
Because there's only a certain number of each kind of card in the game. So,
right.
And then you only have like five or six cards in your hand. So having three
all
more villagers, you know, in your hand would be very, very, not very difficult, but it'd be less likely. So I'm actually, he's like, yeah, here's three villagers. I was thinking to myself, man, is it really? So I like hemmed and hauled for a little while more than I normally would. And I said, sure, give them to me. And they were. And it was like, that was basically the game win for me. So it was a pretty sweet.
My understanding of the game is that there are a couple different ways to score points. So you can either like move up on a track and collect points.
Mm-hmm.
You can have the largest armies, basically. I don't know what that's called, but.
Yep.
What was it that...
it was basically leading all those villagers.
did that move you up the board, or what points did you get?
Yeah, I was going
villagers?
Up the villager board, which is giving me more points and stuff like that, so...
Yeah, interesting.
Yep.
I love the art style for it. It looks very cool. Yeah. I don't know who the illustrator is for it, but it's very fun and bright.
It might be people that do stuff for him, like for Grim Forest and stuff like that.
Same people.
The Cuttington. Mr. Cuttington.
Yeah.
The group
that
does that. Anyway. So that was Guardian's Call. I think we're going to move into a shout-out to our sponsor.
This episode, we'd like to give a shout-out to one of our yearly sponsors, Bezier Games. They're coming out with a new standalone expansion to Silver.
What?
Now, this expansion, it starts with a C. And Kevin, for a long time, was trying to figure out what the word was going to be. Because you have Silver Amulet, Silver Bullet.
Those are the first two games.
Mm-hmm. And then
Silver Cantaloupe.
I was on board with Cantaloupe. I thought that was great.
Wasn't it?
I wanted a Silver Cantaloupe.
So I thought Crypt would have been a really
silver
good one.
Or Coffin.
Yeah, Silver Coffin would have been cool. But they chose something that we would all flip over. And Melissa figured it out.
Silver Coin.
Ta-da. So we've had an opportunity to play this a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot that it was a secret because usually I just blab these things all over the place. And
right.
So actually, I did a mind wipe on you.
I managed to forget that I wasn't allowed to talk about it. Well, we've had a good time with it. You guys haven't had a chance to play it
yet, right? We have not been able to play it yet.
So it does play...
So tell us all about it.
Basically identically to Silver Bullet and Silver Amulet, you're trying to get the lowest number of cards, kind of golf style, in front of you. You have a hand of cards that you start with, and then you either play a card to the table, or you put it down and you take the action that's on the card, or you add it to your secret stash, and then nobody knows what it is, and you have to try to remember to the end of the game and hope that you don't get them in the wrong order, or that somebody else doesn't swap them on you.
Yep.
And then whoever has the lowest score at the end of the game wins. This game adds all new cards to the game, and you can mix and match those with the other games as well.
That's cool.
Some of my favorites from this game. There's two that work really well together, and every time I've played the game, I've managed to get these two cards within a turn of each other, which is fantastic. There's this number 11 Golem card, so you don't want an 11 in your hand. Super high card.
Right.
You would have lots of points at the end of the game. But you can exchange the top card of the discard pile with one village card. Place the village card on the bottom of the discard pile. If you're able to exchange it with the 7, which is Nostradamus, I assume, then you can view all the cards in one village.
Oh,
which is fantastic.
So you can just look at all your cards.
All the cards. And like two or three games in a row, I had the opportunity to like get rid of an 11, then look at all my cards, and then like you're pretty set at that point because you know what cards you're trying to get rid of for the rest of the game. We've had a good time playing it. Our kids have played with it.
We had this at Tantrum Con.
We did, yes.
Silver buffet.
Yeah, the
with
silver
buffet. But not with coin, though.
Yeah, with coin.
But silver buffet would have been another great B option. I think you have to be 50 and over to eat at the
buffet. Cool thing is they do have the silver amulet, silver bullet. I looked at the silver coin in the box.
Yeah, it looks like a silver coin.
It is a silver coin, and the cool thing about it is the one side is the head of a werewolf, or a wolf, werewolf, and the tail side is an actual tail, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. The first time I looked at it, I like had it upside down, and I was like, what is this supposed to be the shape of?
That's funny.
Oh, it's a werewolf tail. Got it. So yeah. We haven't had an opportunity, I haven't at least, I don't know if you have, to play it with the other decks.
Oh, I haven't mixed the decks. No. But
mostly
I do know,
forget which deck
we've mixed the amulet and bullet decks together. Like, you trade out, like, I don't want to use this 8, I'm going to use this new deck of 8. I mean, I like how simple and clean it is to trade out the different numbers, yeah.
Yep. Artwork looks great. Great continuation and addition to the card deck for sure. So, it's a pretty neat one. Silver coin. Do we think they're going to do silver...
D? Yeah. So what are we thinking?
Silver Delp.
So, there we go. I don't know if I want to, I don't even know what that would look like. A little statue of us.
Of Kevin's hat.
Kevin's hat. There we go. Then we just wait for H on that one.
Okay.
Or K, Kevin's hat. Silver.
Dollar. Silver dollar.
That's a coin.
Makes perfect sense.
That is a coin. Silver dart.
Silver dagger.
Dart.
Ooh.
Dagger.
I like dagger.
Silver. I don't have anything else.
Like silver drachma.
Silver Dracula.
Yeah, I like dagger's the best. And the other cool thing about dagger is it's a 6-letter word going back to their roots of amulet and bullet.
Oh, but coin, they messed it up.
They did. Coin.
Silver coinage.
That's like 7 letters. That's okay.
Silver dud.
All right, well, let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode, we'll be talking about 4 games and a board game accessory coming March 9th, 2020, the week of March 9th, 2020. Melissa, go ahead and start us off this time.
On March 10th, Horrible Guild is bringing Vampire the Masquerade Vendetta to Kickstarter. This is for 3 to 5 players and plays in about 30 minutes. This game, you are playing as vampires who are trying to build up their allies and gain more people and other vampires into your fold. There's 3 areas that each have a ally on it, and you're going to be playing cards for some area control aspects of the game. Something that's really interesting is you start the game with a few cards in your hand and you're going to be playing those. And then at the end of the round, you put those cards back into your hand and add another 1 or 2 cards. So each round, you're going to be potentially playing the same cards. So other players will be able to see what sort of cards you can play.
Yep.
And you can see the other players' cards now. There will be 1 card that you do not play each round. So maybe there's a really powerful one that you wait till a later round and then surprise everybody. But that was interesting. It was like, oh, yep, Sarah has those powers that let her take cards from one location and pull them to the other. Mm-hmm. So, yep, she's probably going to be doing that again this round.
Yeah, it was interesting trying to figure out what they will do and try to counteract that before... they actually play the cards.
Right. And each clan deck, Vampire Clan, has sort of a specialty or theme. The one I played did a lot of stuff with spending blood tokens to do other things. Sarah's, you know, were pulling cards and withdrawing from one area battle to another. Mm-hmm. Yours, Kevin, what were
more like getting power and things like that at the different places. So
yeah, so the cards have different power values on them, and then they may have special abilities that trigger at certain points in the battle. There are several phases to the game where you're playing out cards. You can play them face up, or you can spend some blood to play them face down so people don't know what you've played. And then when you go to the battle phase, each player who's at that location simultaneously decides if they're going to fight in that battle or if they're going to withdraw to the Prince's Lair, which is the last battle. Mm-hmm. And then for everyone who stays in the battle, then there's cards that trigger before you fight.
Your fight itself.
The fight, and then after the fight.
The aftermath. Yeah, we did a playthrough video of this that will be on our channel. You can check that out.
Yeah, so one thing I noticed in gameplay was that you draw some new cards into your hand after each round, mm-hmm. and you don't go through your whole deck. You only add a few of that deck into your hand mm-hmm. throughout the game. Yep. So I think the gameplay could be very different depending on which cards you get and how you...
Oh, yeah.
Try and combo those with the other cards in your deck for that game. So I think that makes an interesting interesting way to play, because you're not going to get the same gameplay every time.
Right, and depending on which clans, which decks you're playing against, you may have to adjust your strategy
mm-hmm. yeah.
Depending on the strengths of the other players as well.
Very cool.
That was Vampire the Masquerade Vendetta from Horrible Guild. Kevin.
This week we'll see the Ministry of Meeples launching The Urgy, a game that lasts about 1 to 3 hours to play. The game is for 2 to 6 players, and you take on the role of half-forgotten gods and compete to have temples built in their honor. On your turn, you can take an action like pilgrimage, which is basically like moving acolytes around, spreading the word, divine intervention, testing the faith. The game is basically you're trying to meet one of the 3 winning conditions, which is becoming the official faith, which is building a number of temples, including one in the capital, or fulfilling your calling, which is building different types of temples and meeting your secret objective, or spreading across the land, which is building Z temples, which is another type of temples, anywhere on the board. So lots of different ways of winning. And this is definitely a bigger type game with like area majority, and there's a modular board and things like that. So check out The Urgy, T-H-E-U-R-G-Y, from the Ministry of Meeples if you're interested in that. And it is Will's turn.
I'm looking at the game Ruination from Colossal Games. It looks pretty slick. It's a post-apocalyptic themed game that has a little bit of... It looks maybe like if Egyptians were post-apocalyptic and they lived in Mad Max's world, and they were illustrated in a fun, bright, reddish, cool color scheme. I don't know. Like the artwork for it. I actually got excited when I looked at it because I thought, ooh, who did this art? And then I saw it was done by Ronald McDonald, and I was like, that's awesome. Then I realized his name is actually Roland McDonald, which is slightly less awesome, but still interesting.
And his art is red and yellow?
Yeah, kind of red that and yellow is scheme. Really interesting. Okay. Anyway, it's a 2 to 4 player area control civilization game. It's a map domination. There's minis in the game. Cool looking minis. We should also have a discussion sometime on what is the definition of cool looking minis, because I feel like that's all over the place. These ones, I would say, definitely look cool. They
cool mini or not.
Definitely on the cool side. They are in the same style of illustration characters, whatever you want to call that, I don't know, but post-apocalyptic Egyptian Mad Max world. And it looks like each player has a different color set of minis, and in their set they have a archer, a cavalry guy, and a soldier. So it looks like you're going to be doing different movements with each of your character pieces. And you'll be trying to ultimately, I believe, get access to water. The lore that they've wrapped around it is that the world ended so long ago that no one can even remember its name. From its ashes rose the Khanate, whose citadels guard the last aquifer. So everyone's battling to get water, and it looks pretty slick, actually. I'm sure this would be a game right up Ryan and Allie's, Ryan and Katie's alley. I think that's a thing. But I would be interested in it myself because the art style does look fantastic and it looks like it's got some cool table presence and just really imaginative characters. So if you're interested in that one, check out Ruination from Colossal Games. Sarah.
Salt and Sail is coming from Kazudu Games. It's from designer Justin Potter and it is an exploration game. It's in a Age of Sail type of time period. So if you think about pirate type theme to the game, it has a hex board, but it's not necessarily the hexes are, some of them are put together already. So it's not individual hexes. It has pieces that are differently shaped with hexes stuck together. So maybe like five or six put together as a hex or four hexes. And it is an exploration game. So you are trying to go through the different map that you would have to set up the game. And then there are some other mechanics in the game would include bag drawing. So you have some tokens that will indicate the success of your die rolls. It has variable player powers. You can add different crew members to your ship so that you can do different things with what you have on your ship. You can also change out your ship and get upgrades to help with what strengths and weaknesses you might have in the game. You are ultimately trying to gain fame. So there are some, this game takes about 60 to 90 minutes. There are some public rumor cards that kind of give you some direction of what you're trying to do in the game as well. So that is Salt and Sail coming from Kazudu Games. Kevin.
So we're going to talk about very briefly the product that is board game related coming to Kickstarter. Draw Lab Entertainment has done a few Kickstarter campaigns for metal coins, and they're bringing Legendary Metal Coins Season 5. Season 5 to Kickstarter on March 10th, so you can check that out. I do not know anything about the campaign, but we're getting some samples in the mail. So what you can do is you can go to my next block video, which will be live by the time you're hearing this. And on that video, which I talk about a bunch of upcoming Kickstarters that'll be coming in March, I'll be showing off those samples on that video, Lord willing, because I don't have them in hand yet.
So. But he feels confident he will. Maybe.
There will be something on our YouTube channel with the coins.
If the coins come in the mail.
Otherwise, Google the internet. It's always a handy place. One of the things we've got coming up this week, I believe this is the 9th, I can't ever time travel correctly, but is our Tantrum Talks. We're going to be doing a Tantrum Talks on Thursday night. We've enjoyed doing those live segments. If you haven't ever joined us on the YouTubes for those, we do a show on Thursdays once a month, and then on Saturdays we do a Saturday morning board game show as well. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of fun with it on our part of the side of the show. Hopefully you guys enjoy watching them. We're trying to kind of perfect our audio and some of the things that we've got going on. Some guys who are doing something similar are at the Board Game Closet. Jimmy Hudson and Bradley are going to be joining us in just a second to give us kind of some insights on what they're doing over at their channel. They do podcasts and YouTube channel live things as well. And maybe we'll be able to exchange some notes on our technical savvy. Why don't we welcome those guys to the house?
Hey!
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hey, everybody.
Thanks so much for joining us, you guys. You guys have been doing all kinds of fun stuff recently. We were just recently on you guys' show, and so we thought it might be really cool to be able to connect on both sides of the, it's not really a spectrum, what is it called? Radio waves?
Yeah.
Yeah, internet waves, man.
Yeah. Internet waves. Tell, yeah, it's great to be on here.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Tell us a little bit about the Board Game Closet, some of the stuff you guys are doing. You've got a podcast, and you're also getting ready to maybe do some live streaming here soon?
Yeah, definitely. So we've been doing, I guess, YouTube stuff since about 2013. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. And so we've been making the YouTube videos like a whole bunch of other people do. But here the last couple years, we started doing podcasts. And now 2020, we're going to try our hand at a little live streaming. So we'll see how that's going to go.
Good luck with that.
Seems like lately it's been a lot of live streaming. It's been like a game or two a week, like a game and a half a week or something. Mm-hmm. And it's been a lot of fun. And the podcast, Jimmy did it on his own for a long time. And I was a long listen from the beginning. And I just was lucky enough. I've been in the channel for, I think, like 6 or 7 months now. And I'm lucky enough to be a co-host now on the podcast. And we've changed up the format on that a little bit. And I make everything better, I think. So it's great. You should check it out.
There's nobody on our crew that feels the same way about their role.
Only you, Will. Only you.
You need, well, it is funny. Go ahead.
You need those people who come along, bring the energy and the excitement. So we're glad you're a part of the crew, Brad. That's awesome.
Yes, me too. Yeah, no I'm very joke. Thankful.
Back in the day, it was just me, like, just standing in a closet, basically talking to myself for an hour. And there's not much energy. There's not enough energy drinks on the planet to get you really hyped up when it's just you in a closet, you know?
Sometimes those origin stories just make so much sense. The tantrum house, the board game closet, and all.
But at least you guys had board games in the closet, right?
That's right. Yeah. Right.
You're not alone when there's board games there.
Now, do you guys have a regular gaming group that you hang out with? Or what's your how do you get the games to the table? What's your secret?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely play together pretty regularly, I guess. Here the last, 2-3 months, Bradley and I are... we've been getting together, swapping places. My wife and I will go to his house. His wife will come our house, and we'll kind of go back and forth just doing that. So almost every Friday night we've been able to do that, which has really made consistency and getting games to the table pretty good, right?
Yes, totally. And it's so – I don't know. It feels so good just to know, you know, even if my week is bad, I've got this coming up. So there's right, that level probably. Of it. And then there's just so much content that we're wanting to push out that it kind of – that's even more motivation. And so it's like on several different levels, being able to play once a week. And then if we can get Rod in, play maybe twice a week games. And for this year, me personally, I set this board game-related New Year's resolution of 120 games this year. And it's just something about setting the goals. It makes it so much more exciting to get games to the table, not just playing board games, but you have a purpose. You're doing it. You have a reason.
Mm-hmm. So 120, that's 10 games a month. How's it? Yes. How's it going? We're in February.
So far it is okay. It's not, you know, it's not on the dot, but I'm real close. And it's not, to even make it worse, it's not just 120 games. It's 120 new to me games. And so it new rules every time. That's the thing that's kind of getting me. But again, with all this live streaming stuff that's coming up, that gives Jimmy and I a chance to kind of, I feel like it stretches your brain a little bit and able to, you know, the next game you learn will be a little bit easier because maybe it shares a mechanic to some other one that you played. Does that make sense? So, yeah.
It does. It does. We've found that to be true, that learning games comes much easier when you do it a lot. So.
Totally. I bet that is so true for y'all. Because like we were talking about on our podcast, y'all have so many games that you lay your hands on. It looks exhausting, but it's so much fun at the same time, right?
It is a lot of fun. I like discovery. So I just love learning new games. Almost even more than playing the same games over and over again. It is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm so glad you said that. I feel the exact same way.
All right, so I want to talk nuts and bolts with you guys. You're doing the live stream. You've got a format kind of figured out that you're working with. We obviously are doing a decent amount of live streaming as well. Tell me some of the tips and tricks that you have discovered as far as any of the technical side, the audio, the visual. What are some of the things that you've been able to improve, work on, that we can steal for our lives?
There it is.
Oh, man. Yeah, we just picked up this new thing called a Blackmagic A10 Mini, and it's just got four HDMI inputs, and it just will take anything. So one thing that I was trying to avoid was I've got an older iMac, and I was trying to avoid plugging in all these different cameras into it, capturing it, doing all this stuff on screen, and then sending it up online. I just knew that my older iMac would be able to handle it well, and I didn't want to spend the money to try to just beef up my computer. Not yet, at least. One day we'll have to tackle that. But right now, I was like, if we could just get something else. And so that Blackmagic A10 Mini is just a separate device. You plug in all your things, and it's got an actual push-button thing, so I don't even have to touch a computer. And so that's going to be so nice. I just send one signal. And I bought this other little box called a JTEC H264 encoder or something. And so I don't even have to run the signal through a computer to get it on the internet. It
just goes
through that box, goes to connect directly through a Cat5 cable to my internet, and poof, it's up there. And so that's one of the tips that I've got, is try to avoid using a computer. Now I'm not going to have some of the cool on-screen things that people have, you know, like where the comments pop up on the screen and things like that. But I'm kind of okay with that, because I've got two things in mind where I'm thinking I want to live stream it now, but I also want to replay it later. And so I'm kind of okay with just a clean look where it's just shots of the components and the pieces and the players. And so anyway, so I kind of lose some of that flashiness that some of the other live streamers have, but I think I'm going to get a better quality video and easier on my computer by just kind of avoiding all that. So anyways, that's my spiel, and it's working.
The nuts and bolts.
What's your platform that you're using to do the live?
Is it primarily Facebook or YouTube, or where are you guys at?
Yeah, definitely Facebook. So you can find us on there. We've talked about playing with YouTube, but we haven't done any of that yet. So yeah, just be through our Facebook group. So you can look us up on Board Game Closet, and then we try to always post links about what we're doing and stuff like that. But just plug that little stream key into the little box, and it sends it directly there to Facebook.
And how many angles are you guys doing right now?
Right now it'll be three angles, and by the time this probably airs, we are going to be revealing our brand new card cam, is what we're calling it.
So, card cam.
Incredible. It's so cool.
So I totally stole this idea from Rotto Runs Through, and he's got this card cam that I guess is like green screened out.
Yeah,
so
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. So as soon as I saw that, I was like, I told Bradley and Rod, I said, we have to do this. I don't know what it's going to take. And so we figured it out with this little A10 Mini. And so we're going to show that out this week. We're going to be live streaming Wonderland's War. And so I'm going to have this cool little card cam that pops up. Instead of it being this little tiny corner, or instead of you having to hold the card up to the camera lens and let it focus, I'll just slide the card right out, and it's full screen up all the time if you want it to be. And so I'm really pumped about that. So technically it'll be a straight on view, straight down view, and then a up close card cam that we're going to play with. So
are you using green screen, or are you using something else?
Yeah. It's kind of like, it's actually tip and trick. I went to Walmart and picked up a green piece of construction or whatever poster board. And I did that. And the key on the A10 Mini is just so good. It really pulled out. Now, it's not perfect. It's not like the Weather Channel, I guess, but it's good enough that it looks pretty clean on there. And so we're going to try that out. So it just keys out all the stuff in the background, and you just see the car.
Even green.
Even
awesome.
Green.
Yeah, you cannot play any games with green in them anymore.
Never again.
All right, good. Tip stolen. So that's perfect. We will be incorporating that on our show soon.
That's awesome. Yeah, go for it. I will be in the comments saying, that's so cool.
That's so cool. How innovative.
All right, so final question. For some reason, a lot of people assume that we have, like, I mean, we call them Tantrum House Studio D, Studio 3. People actually assume we have, like, a studio somewhere where all these things are at. Which we do not. It's my living room and Kevin's game room. Where do you guys do your shooting? Is that in your closet? Tell us where's your live stream taking place?
It's upstairs. So I've got an upstairs room. Blessed to have kind of my own space upstairs. And I don't know how I got my wife to agree to it, but she basically let me have the whole upstairs room. And so I'm able to set everything up and leave it up, and I don't have to take anything down. And so that's really, really convenient. Whereas before, I would have to, I mean, I'm sure you know what that's like, just setting stuff up and kids in the way. And so now I kind of have to, I got it just kind of set up, and it doesn't get messed up too much. So basically all of it at my house. Yeah.
Excellent. Good stuff. Well, thanks so much, you guys, for being on the show with us. Tell us where, tell our audience where they can find you guys' podcast and everything else at.
Bradley, tell us, man.
First of all, if you'll go to BoardGameCloset.com, you can find it all. But we have a feed, of course, on iTunes, Google Play, whatever, for the Board Game Closet podcast. Facebook, Board Game Closet, Instagram. We actually do have a TikTok, but we're not creating stuff on there yet. I'm just not in the TikTok mindset. You know what I mean?
I got you.
We feel you.
Everywhere.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you guys so much for being with us, telling us a little bit about your show, just catching up on good times. Hopefully, we'll be able to connect with you guys at maybe Gen Con again this year. You guys going to be at some conventions?
Yeah, oh, Origins, yes. And Gen Con.
Can't wait.
Well, cool. We'll look forward to seeing you guys then, and maybe we'll be talking again on one of each other's shows sometime in the near future.
Yeah, perfect. That'd be great.
Thank you guys so much. We'll talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye. So good luck to them as they grow their channel and as they work to be able to spread some board game love around the world. I know that I am always eager to kind of get the inside scoop from other media makers. We get a chance to meet up with them at some of the conventions and different things that we go to, but very rarely do we actually get to sit down and talk strategies and skills and trying to figure out the best way to do things. We love you guys' feedback. We get some emails once in a while from folks that just like to, you know, tell us what they appreciate and give us their feedback anytime that you have spare time on your hands and would love to send us your feedback. We'd love to hear from you because everything.
Or send us a postcard.
Yeah, you could do that and get the address at the end of the show.
Well, and before we go, we wanted to definitely mention our Kickstarter campaign that's going to be launching March 31st, right, Will?
Sounds good. Hopefully, probably.
Working on that campaign page. We were able to talk to GameFound about setting up a pledge manager. So we're getting all those things together. Yeah. And of course, the big thing that people are wanting to know about are the promo cards. What are we going to be offering?
Yeah.
I know we were just talking to the op, and we'll talk about that in a future episode. But tonight, we're going to mention 25th Century. Chad Elkins emailed and said that he has some new promos that he'd like to offer through our Kickstarter campaign and support us, and that's awesome. Of course, we will re-offer Kingswood promo that was offered on our last campaign, and if you're not familiar with that game, you can check out our video on that and back the Kingswood promo. He's also going to do a Tantrum House exclusive gear card for Jurassic Parts.
Ooh, some Tantrum House gear.
And then a Tantrum House exclusive action card for winner chicken dinner.
Yes.
So two new promo cards, and then we'll redo the Kingswood one, and then some bundles for some deluxe editions of those games like Kingswood. And I think winner chicken dinner, and then Jurassic Parts as well, some bundles, game bundles as well. So check those out on our Kickstarter campaign launching March 31st. Thank you, Chad, and 25th Century Games for the support.
So I feel like there's maybe a missed opportunity for a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Tantrumsaurus Rex.
Tantrumsaurus Rex, Chad, you heard it here.
Is it too late? We got to get that in there. That would be fantastic.
Tantrumsaurus.
A giant house with little tiny arms on it. That would be amazing. Well, we're definitely looking forward to our Kickstarter coming up, and we will be releasing more info on those promo cards. We've got a bunch in the stack, so I think we're going to have a really great variety of things to offer people this year. Very excited to get you guys' support on that. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Until next time, keep playing board games.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's Barry, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.